All right, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can gather again today. Thank you for the Thanksgiving, the reminder of Thanksgiving that we have had. We pray that you'll be speaking to us through these important applications of open love today, and be effective in our lives and others that we can help. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, Bonnie has Christmas cards for each person. So if you want to look on the table there, there should be one for you. If there's not, there should be, and there will be.
Eat, Bunny, and Peach.
That's right. That's right. You got it. What we have been talking about is open love. And I wanted to bring out the box again. The bottom part of the box is what goes on in our hearts. And then the very top is what we openly communicate with other people. And so that's kind of the picture we're trying to get here. Without what goes on in the heart, what is openly communicated to other people may or may not be truly loving in from the heart. The important thing is first that there be love in our hearts. In the front of the box here, we have love that openly communicates itself to other people, right here on the top. We have a lack of love that openly communicates itself to other people there on the top. On the sides, we have love that does not communicate itself, and so it's cut off from being openly communicated in the top, and then there's a lack of love, which also may not be openly communicated to other people, but if there is an open communication of it, it may look like an open, loving relationship. Interestingly, it's deceitful are the kisses of an enemy, right? And those are open communications, but they cover up a lack of love in the heart. And so what we have is the importance of open love. And we've been looking at the four basic kinds of human relationship, but the one that is aimed at, the one that we want to be pictures of and communicators of, is an open and loving relationship. If we're closed and unloving, then we should first deal with our unloving attitude, confession of sin, and filling of the Spirit, and then we have agape love in our hearts. And from closed loving, then, we, by faith, openly express that love at the proper way and the proper time, God's timing. God's the one who knows the timing. If we have openly communicated an unloving attitude, then we need to be filled with the Spirit and then openly communicate a loving attitude. Now, yes, we could go from closed unloving to open unloving, but eventually we should get to open and loving. That's not really the best way to go, but sometimes a person's had it up to here, right? And then they just explode. And then from there, instead of excusing it, we can and should openly communicate love, but we can't do that without acknowledgement of our wrongs to God and to other people. And so, where we are today, if you have your a book, is on pages 101 and following. And what this chapter deals with, it's a very practical chapter dealing with open expressions of love to others. So we're not just in a theoretical area now. We're in very rubber meets the road areas of life. This is the real stuff of life. And notice on page 102 that the first open expression of love to others is acknowledgement of one's wrongs, apology and forgiving. Why is that important? Why do we start here? Why is that the starting point in talking about open expressions of love? And there are several of them that are being talked about, and we will talk about them, Lord willing, as we go through. But why start with acknowledgement of wrong? Moses?
That's the only way we can change.
Okay.
Yeah, because just like it said, a problem known is half solved.
Okay.
Because you now know where it is coming from.
Okay.
Then how to deal with it.
Okay.
It's just like treating the symptom and leaving the root cause. So once we acknowledge where the wrong is coming from, we have already known what the right is.
Uh-huh.
The right is an open, loving relationship.
Uh-huh.
That's where we are heading to. So when we know where the wrong is, then we can now move towards openly loving.
Okay, good. Yes, love, did you have something? The question is, why do we start with acknowledgement of wrongs and forgiving?
Because we're so good at wronging.
Yes. If you're like me, and I know you are because the Bible says you are, okay, maybe not as much, but it's there, right? There's that old sin nature still there. Yes, we are new in Christ. We have a new nature inside of us. But the flesh is still there. And so we're good at sinning. And so the question is, what do you do when you've done that? Okay? It's ideal not to ever have wronged anybody else or wronged God. God is the first one. Yes, go ahead.
Well, it's the first step in 1 John 1:9.
Okay, good. Go into that.
If we confess our sins,
yes.
He is faithful and just to forgive us. So that's the apparent sin that's in front of us, and that's what needs to be acknowledged.
Okay, good.
Yes, acknowledge, and then turn the other direction.
Okay, and so the first acknowledgement is to God, isn't it? And we're talking about open love to man in this chapter, but the first acknowledgement is to God, acknowledging our wrongs to God, being filled with the Spirit, and now we have love that we can communicate to God. We've talked about that, and now we're talking about how we communicate love to other people, right? And so why is it important in our relationship with other people, not only with the Lord, that's our first relationship, but our relationship with other people, why is it important that we start with acknowledgement of wrongs? Because we're good at wronging, right? Not necessarily terrible, awful, bad things, but there are all kinds of things that are hurtful, that are thoughtless, that are unkind, which we communicate to other people, and so we need to take down those barriers. Look at at the bottom of 102, it is as if one has raised an invisible, though perceptible, barrier between himself and other individuals toward whom he has expressed his sin. Confession of that sin to God is a start at removing the barrier, but it is only a start. Through confession and concurrent filling of God's Holy Spirit, the believer experiences renewed intimacy with God and possesses the fruit of the Spirit, the chief of which is agape love, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. There is one more thing to do, however, to remove the barrier between himself and those to whom he has communicated his unloving attitudes, words, or actions. He needs to acknowledge his wrongs to them, that is, he should apologize for the sin which has hurt them. At the bottom of 103, there is a footnote. Of course, if a believer's unloving attitude is not even in subtle ways communicated to another person, as when it is present in one's heart, but the other individual is not in his presence, only confession to God is needed for one's relationship to again be loving. However, when an unloving attitude is embraced, the next page there, in one's heart, while he is in the presence of someone who knows him well, his spouse, his child, his close associate, it will be sensed, an apology should be made swiftly for it, thereby removing the invisible barrier of rejection and estrangement which one has created by entertaining it. What are some subtle ways in which we can unlovingly hurt others? What are some subtle ways? There are some obvious external ways, and we can talk about that too.
Ignore.
Okay, good. A thoughtful or thoughtless ignoring of somebody. Okay? What would be another subtle way? Or more open way, of course. You say an unkind word to somebody. That's pretty obvious, right? And you communicate your anger or resentment or your unkindness in a particularly effusive way to somebody. Yes. That would be wrong too. But what are some other subtle ways? Why do I mention the subtle ways? Because it's so easy to ignore the subtle ways. Okay. So ignoring somebody. What else? What would be another subtle way? Yes, Doris.
Well, as I sit here listening in my neighborhood and everything, it's easy to criticize someone. But you don't know where they are.
Yes.
And it hurts your testimony.
Okay, all right. Okay, a critical spirit. And a critical spirit can come through in a subtle way, can't it? It can be very blatant, but it can be very, very subtle as well. And in our relationship, for example, when I might have something of a corrective nature to say, it depends on whether my attitude is loving or unloving toward my wife, and she will pick up the attitude, there is just an underneath critical spirit there, which I need to apologize for. All right, what else? What would be another subtle way?
Some people misuse humor. They, I didn't really mean that.
You know, oh, yeah.
Laughing it off, but it really was a lot more into it.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Okay, very good. Very good. In fact, the Proverbs even talks about that, about a person who does an evil thing and says, "Oh, I was just joking." Mm. Yeah, oh, yeah. Mm. But even there may be thoughtless things. I remember a time, of course, I was a pastor for many years, and somebody said something, about something that they had done wrong or something, but my response was not a sensitive one to them, and it deeply hurt them. I did learn about it and apologized for it, but sometimes a person can be deeply hurt by something like that, and you never know about it. And that's another reason that it's important to be open and loving, right? To communicate the hurt, and there's nothing wrong with the hurt, but it's our response to the hurt. Our response to the hurt could be resentment, which pushes us to closed and unloving relationship with the person who has hurt us. But they did mention that that was very hurtful to them, and I could apologize for it because I wasn't thinking it was thoughtless of me to make that comment. All right. Other ways we can hurt somebody.
Weaker brother, stronger brother, that whole scenario.
Okay. Right.
Not being sensitive in certain areas.
Okay, good. Not being sensitive to a person who might struggle in a certain area, might have a different standard in a certain area, and being critical of that individual, or flaunting one's freedom.
Just inconsiderate.
Yes, inconsiderate. Okay. Being inconsiderate would be another thing. Just inconsiderate. Just little things that are inconsiderate, but they can fester in a relationship. So instead of our ignoring those things, acknowledging those things as wrong, and of course it is helpful if a person does not pay attention to the hurt that they have caused for the other individual to mention it, so that the first person can acknowledge the wrongs. What if they don't acknowledge their wrongs? What if they don't? So let's say I say an inconsiderate comment to somebody. And they mentioned to me that was very hurtful, and I just kind of pass it off. They aren't responsible for my reaction, right? They are only responsible for their reaction to the situation. I've had people say, okay, you've taught me about being open and loving, and I was open and loving in my family situation, and it didn't work. Now, what does that mean? It didn't work. What does that mean?
It didn't give the results that I wanted.
Yes, right. And we're not talking about manipulating people, see. We're talking about a love that is there and is communicated and may be rejected. Was God ever rejected?
Yes.
Has he ever been? Of course. And Christ here on earth rejected, right? Every turn. But it's our responses to the rejection that are the key things. So once again, I read a book one time. Oh yes,
well. Well, would you go into Christ when the guard struck him? Would you go into that? Are you?
Well, why don't you mention what you're thinking
of? When the Lord, when he had taken him in from Gethsemane, and the guards, of course, were mocking him, and then one of the guards struck him.
Yes.
And the Lord's response to being struck. I was wanting you to
remember it.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I think the Lord said at that time, if I've done something wrong, why do you strike me? It was something like that. But see, he was being open and loving. That's what he was doing there. By turning the other cheek. He was turning the other cheek in a sense that, okay, I'm going to communicate this, and now I may open myself up to another slug in the face. But I'm going to be open and loving and confront this person anyway. Read a book one time by somebody that was involved in a cult. I don't know if I knew at that time that the person was involved in a cult. It was a lady who was talking about women and how they were to treat their husbands. And throughout the book, it was interesting. What came across to me was not how to love your husband. It was how to manipulate your husband. See, there's a difference, isn't there? And you can, some people are very good at manipulating other people, right? And we're not talking about manipulation here. We're talking about a love that is there. The barrier is down, even though maybe the barrier stays up in another person's life. And if it does, then at least they are more aware of it because of the loving attitude that I've communicated to them. Let's look at Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Someone read that for us. Matthew 5, 23 and 24.
So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift.
It's interesting. Prerequisite to serving the Lord is reconciling something that your brother has against you. Now, there were all kinds of people that said that the Lord had offended them, and he had lovingly confronted with their sin, but he didn't have anything to apologize for. We never find Christ apologizing because he never was wrong, never was unloving. But we, on the other hand, can be wrong toward other people. And so it's important that we reconcile. Now, how could you reconcile with somebody without acknowledging your own wrong if you've offended them? See, I don't know of any way you can really reconcile. We'll talk about various ways we can kind of, in a sense, apologize, but we're not really apologizing. But we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Of course, we've got Matthew 18 in flagrant, persistent situations. In Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, is the pattern for dealing with someone who has done something wrong, not just against us, but maybe against others. But it is clearly there. We are part of the situation. We are part of the situation where others have hurt us. Who has Matthew 18, 15 through 17?
And if your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax gatherer.
So listening here is not just, yeah, I hear what you're saying. But listening is listening and acknowledging the wrong. That's what we're talking about here. And so here's the pattern that if we're going to correct somebody lovingly, openly and lovingly, we'll talk about correction being an open expression of love as we go along in our open expressions here. But if a person is corrected, then that's all you can do. But the other that person then should listen and heed it and acknowledge the wrongs. It's very important that we acknowledge the wrongs. At the bottom of page 103, the very last paragraph there, when a believer's relationship with another human being is fractured by his own sin, therefore, the first open expression of love which he should give is apology. Without this, all other open expressions of love are less than convincing to the offended individual. What does that mean? Let's say somebody has hurt you. And there's even a song that was popular in my day. Okay, back in the day, they say, right? love is never having to say you're sorry. Ever hear that that song? Love is never having to say you're sorry. That's really not right. It's nice to what it's trying to emphasize is that you're not holding it against the other person, but there are little things. For example, I've hurt you. And so I show up with flowers in my hand. Well, that's all right. But what if I don't acknowledge my wrongs? Say, so, how does that? I've deeply criticized you. Maybe I have been very thoughtless. maybe I have communicated my anger toward you. And now I come and I say I love you and I kiss you if you're my wife, or I do some other nice thing to you. Why is that a little hollow? Why? Maybe it's not. Yes.
Without the acknowledgement of wrong, the barrier's still there.
Okay.
The
relationship. All right. Yeah. See that. The hurt is still there, and that doesn't mean I have to hold it against you, but there's no it's almost as if we're excusing ourselves. Well, that's just me. I just blast people once in a while. some people say, well, I communicate my anger and then it's over. And somebody else said, well, that's the way a shotgun is. Just one shot, and then it's over. You see? But the hurt is still there, right?
It also means that it will not end. It will keep going on.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You have refused to acknowledge.
Yes.
It simply means you have excused it.
Mm-hmm.
And you are saying,
yes,
that it will happen again.
Yes. Yes. In fact, that's the way I am, so to speak. Well, God can change the way we are. Yes.
What prevents a person from open, loving relationship? What prevents me from saying, I'm sorry, I apologize?
Yes.
What holds me back? I think of that verse, only by pride cometh contention.
Yeah.
And that internal pride, well, pride hold me back from saying,
uh-huh,
I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. Very good. In fact, love is not arrogant. 1 Corinthians 13:4, right? And so, we're just staying in an unloving attitude. That's what holds me back. It's embarrassing. I don't want to, because I'm too proud to say that I was wrong. Did you have something else?
Well, would you go into how one lives in an open, loving way with someone who is consistently open and unloving, but does not acknowledge their wrong towards you?
Well, all I can say is to live lovingly. and that is not easy if a person is a person who is consistently open and unloving. Of course, yeah, I think it's even more difficult to live with a person who is closed and unloving. Because at least the open and unloving person, you know where they stand, you've learned something about them. We went into this before. You have some understanding of what's going on in their lives, and so you can know where at least you might be hurting them without intending to or something, but still they're going to be open and unloving toward other people, and you're going to get the brunt of it. Let's say, for example, a man who has a resentment toward his boss, and he brings it home. How much love can he, agape love, can he give to his wife? How much agape love can he give to his wife? He's holding on to this bitterness and anger and hatred toward his boss. And how much love can he give to his... I'm not going to call on you, John. You've answered so many times. He's my answer man here, and I appreciate it. I want to try to draw some other people out here. How much love can I give to my wife and kids? Nobody knows?
Not very much.
Yeah. Thank you. Did you have something else?
That blocks releasing love in other relationships.
Yes.
Because the only thing you see, it's like a dam on a river.
Yes.
The only thing you see is that piece of concrete that's in front of you, and the blasted boss, that bleeds over into other relationships.
That's good. There is a book that I can't find that I have, and I want to find it because it's such an excellent expression of this idea. It's called by S.I. Macmillan,
None of These Diseases.
Yes. If any of you have that book, I can't find my old book. Would you bring it to me and I'll read it? Yeah, but he gives an illustration of the man I hate and how that person affects my life. As Reggie is talking about. Now, yes, I can still have friendship love toward her. I can still have physical love toward her. I can still have a family love toward her, but I can't have agape love toward her and the family if I'm holding on to an unloving attitude toward somebody else. If, however, of course, I blow up at the kids for spilling a glass of milk, I've used this illustration before, so bear with me if you would, and I realize my anger was wrong, and I confess it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So at that moment, then I can love my wife and my children. But how long am I going to go without thinking back about my boss? And usually I can pick that up in the back of my mind, cuts off once again. The love that I could have toward my wife and my children. Look at Luke 17, 3 and 4. Luke 17, 3 and 4. Who has that one for us?
Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, I repent, you shall forgive him.
Forgiveness is important, too. not only acknowledgement of wrongs, but when somebody acknowledges wrongs to us, forgiveness is important, right? In fact, I often suggest to people, and when they apologize, they say, will you forgive me? Why might that be a good practice? Especially when you're beginning to apologize more quickly and more frequently for unloving attitudes that have been communicated. Why might it be helpful to say, will you forgive me? I'm sorry for this. Will you forgive me? Why might that be important or helpful?
Well, it shows their openness of heart and they're willing to acknowledge.
Good.
It really reveals their start of openness of this.
Good. Good. It gives them an opportunity to love you back. See? And if they go on, well, you should be, or this or that, you know, and start to talk or evasive, this kind of thing, then they're not ready to forgive you. But that's what they need to do, right? They need to forgive you. They need to acknowledge their wrongs to God of an unloving attitude that has been in their heart. If it has been, and if it hasn't been, they will forgive you. Because love doesn't take into account what? The wrong. The wrong suffered. Right? 1 Corinthians 13, 5. So that is helpful. We used to do that between my wife and me. We don't do it anymore because the other person communicates forgiveness. Now, whether it's really in the heart or not is up to that individual, right? It's like you teach children to pray, and they may be truly praying, or they may not be truly praying, but at least you're teaching them. You teach them to apologize and forgive, and they may be doing it, and they may not be doing it in the heart, but at least you're teaching them that what they should do and what they should be from the heart. On 104, the last two paragraphs, in other words, when someone's lack of love has erected a barrier between him and a believer, and he acknowledges his unloving attitudes, words, or actions as wrong, the Christian should immediately and openly communicate God's love by expressing forgiveness to him, thus assuring him that the barrier to their relationship has been removed. Another passage which enjoins the believer both to apologize and to express forgiveness is Romans 12:18, when Paul penned, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Acknowledgement of one's own wrongs to those to whom he has had offended, and forgiveness expressed to those who have acknowledged their wrongs to him, could not have been far from his mind. After all, how can one truly attempt to be at peace with another person if he refuses to humbly admit when he has wronged him or to humbly express his forgiveness to him? I've told you this before, but we have asked our children in various stages of their lives, as they've grown up and gone off to college and this kind of thing, what were the most important open expressions of love in our family? to you. And they've said various things. We'll go into some of those things. But there's one that has been mentioned by all three of our children, and that is apology and forgiving. Apology and forgiving. Not just their apology, our apology. And our parents' apology and parents' forgiving of the child. Well, let's go ahead and have our divide into our groups, okay, for prayer.
Where would you like the A's, B's?
Oh, yeah, well, the A's, B's, and the C's, D's, and the E's. Where we want to meet. But A's and B's up here would be good. Just move the chairs any way you want.
Are you a D?
Hi,
Moses. How are you?
Hi, thank you.
Are you a D or a D? You're in the...
I'm in the...
Oh, Moses,
you're a D?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just try to get in groups of three. We don't have as many people as would take all of them.
Might be just you and me.
All the letters. It doesn't matter. Just go ahead and get in a group of two there someplace.
No
other C's? That's all. Well, why don't you three ladies? Well, whatever. Okay. Well, let's see. Wait a minute. They have a group of three over there. They have a group of four over there. Okay. Okay, three.
I'll just join the...
Fine, you join those. That's great.
Let's just do it.
We've done this weekend in the relationship. We've been to the first.
We've done all we can, and they will
Thank you. that on the meeting before, but I never actually met somebody.
That's
terrible. Okay, all right. So we need to. Right. Yeah, you got it.
That's okay.
Yeah, definitely. In my prayer, we're waiting for to join ourselves. We still don't know if the baby's breathing problems. We still don't know if the baby's going to be a good nurse.
3 or 4 days, because I know then they were
4 or 5 days.
I think, yeah, that was how they think. So I never actually realized that we had built the manufacturing equipment there, better shop than me.
As we do that, I
pray you all of us to do that. And then they would use a shipping company or whatnot to get the equipment out there. Some of it they just actually would ship it to where they were building it if it was a new rig, and they would install part of it from the top side of the wood, and have it there. I never went out on one of the rigs, which is not always a bad thing, because sometimes you get
and if you're done with your prayer, you may be dismissed. It's about that time. There's some nice cookies here for anyone.
A lot of them have, they'll have a helicopter to the personnel and stuff.